UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER now for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You're a millionaire for the heat, bro. Rock your practice jersey from Miami.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Nobody trusts Greg Sankey.
Stanky.
And James Strebel.
Now, this is you not knowing...
Jim Havlicek. I called him Bob Havlicek.
You did it again.
John Havlicek. Sorry. Whatever.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
In reality, if I told you, hey, you'd be this far along in the ACC and I'm worried about Virginia, yes.
Yeah, the reality is they're a mid-level ACC team.
I would have been stunned 8 years ago if you would have said that.
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
ACC takeover, Andy.
There we go.
ACC takeover is coming. It's coming this time. Not the first time. It's coming this time. Now that, things are recalibrated into our favor, now the ACC takeover is going to happen.
Sure, Rick Bozich loves that. Booming into his eardrum on a Thursday.
Sorry, Rick.
Hanging out in the Mobile Liquor Barn Studios on this Thursday. It's The Take. It's ESPN 680, 105.7 ESPN Louisville.com. Reminder, the podcast will be up after the show. Appreciate everyone subscribing and listening to that. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. We are hanging out today at Holiday World. Another hour to go. Bozich going to join us here in just a second. But if you want tickets or any information, HolidayWorld.com. HolidayWorld.com. They got you covered there. We'll tell you more about them as we go this hour. Well, let's get Rick Bozich. WDRB joins us every Thursday in the 5 o'clock hour. Rick, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm just trying to process the latest news and see. Now, John Wilner said, don't assume the Big Ten is done. So it's going to be, where are they going? It's got to go 20, right? 20 versus 20 at some point.
I guess, Rick, your guess is as good as mine. We have been through bouts of this. I mean, I guess kind of together, Rick. We have been through the last decade plus many bouts and many different adventures in conference realignment, and here we go again. I guess, what are your initial thoughts? And then we can dig deep into, obviously, any ramifications for U of L, the Big Ten, obviously Indiana, but big picture, you see what's going on and you know there's going to be more. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I mean, last year the move was made by the SEC, obviously, to get Texas and Oklahoma because they were two of the prime properties still on the map, and now the Big Ten has responded this year by getting reportedly USC and UCLA. So then you start looking around like, okay, who's the next most desirable property that's out there, and will the Big Ten take more, or will the SEC preempt them? And I figure it's probably North Carolina and maybe, what, Clemson or Miami or something? Because it's football is what matters. And so I think we'll hear more, whether it's this year or next year. We're heading towards a world where it'll likely be two or maybe three conferences. Some people say four, but I don't know. Well, for the Big Ten to do this to the Pac-12 makes it seem like it could be two.
Hey, but it was the alliance, Rick.
Yeah, the alliance.
They had an alliance, Rick. I'm shocked it took a little over a year for the alliance to stab each other in the back like we knew inevitably was going to happen.
Yep.
Shocker.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 just hired a new commissioner, too, this week, and he came from Rock Nation and not from athletics, too. Isn't that, I mean, it's – Yeah. Every day it's another like seismic move that you try and figure out what's really going on here. And so the thing about the USC-UCLA thing is, like, when USC and UCLA play Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State or maybe Iowa or something, that might be a fairly big deal. But, man, if they're coming across the country to play, you know, Indiana or Rutgers or Illinois or Minnesota, it's like, is anybody – I have a hard time thinking that people on the West Coast are going to be very happy about that.
Does conference realignment, and I'm assuming it bothered you at the beginning, but now does it bother you at all?
It doesn't really bother me. What I don't like about it is how it's all oriented just on football, and every other sport becomes totally irrelevant. Because when you sit back and think about it, I mean, USC and UCLA are good in a lot of other sports. And, you know, you're talking about making their baseball and softball teams go play in the Big Ten in the springtime when it's cold. I mean, nobody they can't be wanting that. And like, their swimming teams are going to have to, you know, compete against Midwest programs in the middle of winter when they're used to staying out on the West Coast, or they're
it doesn't matter, Rick.
Centric, and that doesn't matter. It's so football centric and football centric around what's best for, you know, six or seven programs, and everybody else has to adjust and suck it up and take it because of that. And so I don't know. I'm not really sure what the final end game is. I mean, we keep moving closer to it, but it seems like the final end game is going to be like a super conference where all the football matters is for like maybe even one conference with 16 or 18 teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what I wish would happen, and I know it won't, is I wish they would settle in for what they want and kind of just stick with it.
Yeah.
Right? Except for every couple years. Like, what do you want?
We're going to blow the whole thing up and we're going to put it, you know, the way it needs to be, and that's it. Instead of these yearly, or it used to be like every 3 years. Now they can't even control themselves for more than a year of every year changing things up, and they come up with all these exit fees and contracts that are totally irrelevant, and they break them and lie to each other. It's such a great example for integrity that they always preach, when they talk about college sports.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if they even do. I don't know. Do they even lie to us anymore about integrity?
No.
I don't know. The people, Rick, I found this out. The people that preach integrity over the top often lack it themselves.
They're really trying to hammer
that home. That's
if
college athletics.
It means you probably don't have a whole bunch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rick Bozich with us. Okay, so this happens and immediately, and we've been through it. You know, U of L last 7-8 years. You know, financially in the ACC, you feel like you're pretty damn solid. We'll see what happens, but as far as U of L in ACC angles, what interests you the most going forward with those two?
Just the need that they have, like every other school, to keep strengthening their brand and keep strengthening their football program, with football being, you know, what matters. And they seem to be trying to do that with some of the latest moves they have. And in some ways, I think they benefit from being in one of the larger markets that doesn't have pro sports, where they can deliver a decent-sized top 50 TV market to whichever conference, you know, would be looking for somebody. They bring that, and geographically they sit in an area where they would, if it comes down to a Big Ten or an SEC thing, they fit with either one. I mean, they could slide right into the SEC and have obvious rivalries with Kentucky and Vandy and Tennessee and whoever else, Missouri, or they could slide right into the Big Ten, and they're not that far away from Ohio State, IU, Purdue, whoever else. So they've got a lot of pluses in their favor.
When we go through this next line of this next realignment adventure here, Rick, and Rick Bozich with us, I think there's a good chance, you know, if U of L join the Big Ten or the SEC, that they're not going to make as much as Alabama, or they're not going to make as much as USC going to the Big Ten. Do you think that would be the case? And again, I'm asking, who the hell would know what's going to happen?
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. I wonder whether we'll ever get to a point like, even within these leagues, at what point will we get there where it's like, when they divide up the TV money, will Alabama say, like, why are we, why is South Carolina and Vanderbilt getting as much TV money from, I mean, SEC left CBS for ESPN, right? Why are we dividing it up equally? We all know that the games people want to watch are Alabama. I mean, that's the next step of this in terms of, you know, the greed factor of not having any collegial atmosphere about the whole thing, because I think in most leagues the TV money from the contracts is divided equally. And, you know, we all know in every league there's three or four programs that that draw the eyeballs, and there's a sure. bunch of other teams that are just filler.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they're so, you know, yeah, you got to have a Vanderbilt in there, right? You got to have them in your pod in the new scheduling. So everything can be fine, right? You got to have them in there. I don't know how I should ask this. The conversation around U of L being left out in some sort of way is going to be a conversation. I'm not sure how much of a conversation, and I would feel, I mean, I guess pretty confident that U of L would be involved in one of these mega conferences, since it seems we're going that way. Do you agree with that? Or, you know, I mean, Louisville fans by nature are probably a little gun shy on this. How worried do you think Card Nation is going to be? How worried would you be?
I wouldn't be that worried for the reasons that I gave in terms of, you know, it's a strong program. I mean, Eric tweeted something out there, top 40 in the Learfield Cup. So they got a strong, pretty strong athletic department across the board in a market where they can deliver. You know, they're the only game in town. I mean, it's like a big college town here. There's no pro sports competition, unlike a Cincinnati, which just got to the Big 12, where, you know, Cincinnati has to be good to be relevant in that town because of the Bengals and the Reds and Xavier and whatever else. Louisville is the big dog here. And I think there's a want to. I mean, there's a competitive nature within the program to be good in basketball, as we saw with them making the change midseason to get the new basketball coach in. And there's a competitive want to that we've heard and felt for them to be, because they have been good in football for a period of years, to get back to the way it was, you know, when they were going to the Orange Bowl and Sugar Bowl and some of the other good bowls they've gone to. So all those are good signs. I mean, but in today's world, you never know, like, who's making the decision and what grudges are going to be used in deciding who's in and who's out, or, you know.
Well, yeah, does Kentucky want Louisville in?
Huh?
Yeah, does Kentucky want Louisville in? Does South Carolina and Clemson, can they get along? What about Miami and Florida State? Oh, no. All these things matter. Like, I could talk Louisville to the SEC, but I don't know if I'm going to talk that with Kentucky. I mean, Louisville goes to the SEC. It would be a crowning moment for Louisville, and it would be Kentucky potentially voting yes on that.
Yeah.
If that were to happen.
I wouldn't think they would ever be in favor of that.
No.
And we know Texas A&M wasn't in favor of Texas coming in, and they got in anyway, just mm-hmm. because it's Texas, and they had to act like it was okay. And there were probably some other schools in the SEC that weren't crazy about it, but publicly they had to act like they were. But I don't know. I would feel fairly confident if I was a little more things were going to be okay, but it's such an uncertain time that now you're looking at how confident should Stanford or Oregon State or Arizona State be about what their future is?
Yeah, and we know that when you kind of have all the leftovers and the leftovers try to get together and say, hey, we got value, you don't have that much value.
Right. What value does Washington State have?
No. If you're not picked by the powers that be, you don't have the value. When Louisville was playing at times in the Big East, definitely everything before Conference USA and everything else, the year in the AAC, the games they were playing did not have at stake as much as the power conferences. Yep. And we know that. I just don't think it's a U of L thing right now. I mean, listen, there's a lot of time. And what I told Strebel here is this is going to all kind of trickle out. You know, with these realignment stories, there's going to be a couple different angles and texts like every day, it seems like. There'll be a nugget here. A day or two later, there's another nugget, and it's just going to be how it goes. Rick Bosich with us I mean, Oregon is out there when we talk about a big boy that's sitting out there.
Right.
The remnants of the other parts of the Pac-12 and Big 12. And then you got the ACC. You have the ACC as well. Do you think the ACC is next in being poached, if you had to guess?
I think it's certainly possible, yeah. I mean, there's not much left in the Big 12 that anybody wants. I mean, other than Kansas basketball, we know that basketball really isn't the motivator in any of this stuff. I would think North Carolina would be a prime property. I'm not convinced on Miami. I mean, maybe they are because of their tradition and they've, you know,
crystal ball, baby. Yeah, maybe crystal ball. Maybe crystal ball. You know, he's going to get players, but, you know, we'll see.
I don't know how much appeal they have across the entire state of Florida. I mean, it's kind of a bit of a niche program. And, but, you know, I think Carolina is probably the big, the biggest one out there at this point. That would be my pick.
I would agree with that. Rick Bozich with us. A lot of people are going to blame the ACC leadership, whether it be for their TV deal, you know, just anything. You know, when negative things happen, you can go to the leadership, some of the stuff with Swofford and now Jim Phillips and the ACC joining the alliance, being against expanding the college football playoff just because of, you know, the SEC and the Big Ten and trying to battle them, and they're going to lose that battle. But now people are going to say, I've already seen some of this on Twitter, Rick, well, the ACC needs to be proactive. Okay, I don't know what that means. When people say the ACC needs to be proactive, I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with Notre Dame. You tell me, is there anything the ACC can do here to protect themselves? Because I just don't know what it would be.
I don't know what it can be either. I mean, they don't have any leverage over Notre Dame, and that's so obvious from the standpoint of, you know, they let him in during the COVID year and then let them get right back out. That's when they had the leverage and they weren't willing to use it then. What leverage do they have now? They don't have any compared to that. And Notre Dame has rejected pressure from the Big Ten and the ACC for countless years. I don't see that being a viable strategy for the ACC. I don't know. I don't think the ACC really has that much juice because football-wise, although Clemson's been really good and won a couple national championships, I don't know if it's two or three, it's at least two, and been in the playoffs a bunch. Other than that, the football profile of the conference it's been sort of in the shadow of the SEC.
Rick Bozich with us. Are you going to ACC Media Days? Because now this is what I need, Rick. I need some massive – I need something massive to happen, because if you remember, it was during the SEC Media Days. Where doesn't Big 12 and SEC go at the same time? Or maybe they're a week apart. During the SEC Media Days on that Tuesday or Wednesday is when it broke that Oklahoma and Texas were going to the conference. And that's kind of what I need here. I kind of need – if Florida State or Miami or North Carolina is on their way out, I kind of need that to happen 3 minutes before Jim Phillips speaks to all the gas bags in attendance.
Right. Yeah, it's like, 3 weeks away? I think Eric sent me a note today. Is Kentucky and Louisville the same day, Eric? We're in this office. Kentucky and Louisville are appearing in their respective conference media days the same day.
Really? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Kentucky's in Atlanta, and I'm sure Louisville's probably in Charlotte. So, I don't think the SEC thing is 4 days. The ACC, I think, is only two.
So correct.
If that's correct. The first thing, I guess the ACC needs to do is crank up that football media day to 4 days, man.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the thing you'd want to ask Jim Phillips?
Yeah.
Because you guys will get an interview. I mean, everyone gets an interview with him.
Aren't you glad you got out of Northwestern? yeah, I mean, ask him where this is all going. I mean, I thought you guys formed an alliance last year. This was all going to calm down. Do you ever have any concern that you're going to – and are going to annoy the customers at some point, that there's so much uncertainty that people can't ever get a handle on who's in what league and what matters and where it's going to be, and will there ever be a time where you kind of settle in and this is what it's going to be for, you know, 10 years? I mean, that's impossible to think that that's going to happen. I mean, because we haven't had that now for how long? 2 decades?
Oh, yeah, at least. I mean, to me, it would be due. I mean, it's probably something for me around the Alliance.
I mean, it all started, I guess, with the Big Ten grabbing Penn State, right? Was that the first one? And then the SEC added South Carolina and Arkansas.
And I guess that's right, yeah. Whenever that was.
Yeah.
And then, I'm old enough to remember, like, Boston College and Syracuse and Pitt and all those.
Big East.
Virginia Tech and Miami were all in the Big East.
Yeah.
Weren't they for a while?
Yeah, well,
yeah, they were,
here's a tidbit that you need to know. Lachlan McClain quit giving money to Virginia, I think, when they allowed those other schools into the ACC. He disagreed and did not send his $25 to the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Really? I didn't know that tidbit.
Yeah, his $50 a year they no longer give because back in the 90s or whatever, yeah, I think that's what it was.
I'm glad he took a stand.
He took a stand, Rick. He took a stand.
Yes, he did.
This will be my shameless way to give a hat tip to Kenny Klein, who's retiring today.
Yes, today. Yes.
39 incredible years as the, sports information director, senior assistant athletic director at UofL. But when he started at UofL, it was the Metro Conference.
Yeah.
And it was Florida State, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Cincinnati maybe. Who else? I'm forgetting one or two. And it was a good league. I mean, it was a good basketball league. They didn't play football.
Sure.
That's how unimportant football was. They didn't have a football thing. And the culture has shifted over the years where you couldn't exist that way anymore. You had to get in the league where football. And then, I mean, how great did the Big East basketball used to be?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
It's irrelevant. It all goes down to football. And I get that football is the biggest game in town, but you asked me earlier if I get annoyed. The part of it that annoys me is that it's destroyed all the basketball tradition and the basketball and being in a basketball area that ever existed to create these football leagues that really I don't see, in some ways how it's that much better for the local programs than it used to be. I mean, do you get excited like when Kentucky plays Missouri in football? I mean, I don't. Or do you get excited for some of these games that Louisville plays in football when they're playing
Boston College,
Wake Forest or whatever? I mean, I don't know.
Syracuse.
I understand why it's happening, but there are like negatives to it that nobody talks about or rarely talk about.
Rick Bozich with us at Rick Bozich. No, it's it is beneficial for the few, not the majority. It's like politics, Rick.
Don't you think it's going to keep going until there's like one? I mean, it's going to keep going until there's this one league where like 16 or 24 best football programs will be in it, and they'll all be playing each other, and there'll be these glamorous games every weekend. And then everybody else is going to have to scramble to succeed outside of that world. I mean, I don't know how far away that is.
AFC versus NFC.
The NFL.
I'm not convinced that any of the local programs would make like a Super 24, would they? I don't know.
I mean, no, only if Mitch Barnhart did something in that room.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to come from him.
That would be the most
tenured AD in the SEC.
Rick Bozich with us.
Indiana sure isn't going to make it. Louisville would probably be outside the cut, and Kentucky's kind of borderline.
Today, not a good day for Tom Allen.
No.
I got to play who?
Well, UCLA hasn't been much. USC's going to be pretty good under Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think they're going to be pretty good.
Watch out for Chip Kelly, Andy.
Yeah, I guess he's still there.
I think so.
The same thing, Rick, happened back when Texas and Oklahoma decided to go to the SEC. It was like, yeah, I remember it was a Dallas columnist, if I'm not mistaken. You may remember, Rick. I apologize. I just can't.
It was a Houston guy.
And he was like, hey, this is happening. This is inevitable. And that is exactly what happened here. But all of this came out of nowhere. How quiet.
Yeah, John Wilner, who's been a long time. San Jose Mercury News and is really plugged in. Knows what he's talking about. He's the one that tweeted it first, and I think my son sent it to me. I was working on another story. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah, that's what happened with the Texas and Oklahoma stuff. It was, you know, a plugged-in columnist there at the Big 12, and it's like, no, this is real, and it's happening now.
Yeah.
And the exact same thing happened today where it's like, it's right now. There might be a press conference like in hours or maybe in the morning. It's surprising to me how quiet those two stories have been. That's unbelievable. That, to me, is surprising.
Yeah. It just shows you, yeah, if you really want to get something done of this nature, you can keep it on lockdown. And obviously, the only people that knew were Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, and his attorney, and whoever he dealt with. It have to be on the presidential level at USC and UCLA, and one or two select TV executives. Because, I mean, the one thing we haven't mentioned in this whole discussion is this is going on during the same time that the Big Ten, which is actually going to be now what the Big 16 is renegotiating its television contract. So now they can go to Fox or who, I mean, they've been a Fox network and say, and Fox is based in LA, right? We're throwing in the Los Angeles market for you. Here's how much more is that worth?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Speaking of keeping things quiet, Kenny Payne has done a pretty good job of that. You know, 25 hours
Kenny
ago.
Payne won those
thank
games.
You. 25 hours ago or so, we got the news. Imani Bates going to Eastern Michigan. You don't pick to go to Eastern Michigan. You end up at Eastern Michigan.
Yes.
That is the line. What do you make, then, of Imani Bates? We've talked about this Louisville roster a lot, but Bates officially will not be a Louisville Cardinal. What's your reaction to that?
I'm not really surprised. I mean, I talked to a coach very familiar with Bates, not at U of L, who told me several weeks ago that he thought it was going to be Eastern Michigan because other programs just had too many concerns about the whole Imani Bates experience, that it wouldn't be worth everything that you had to put up with and some other issues that they or concerns that were out there. And so I, knowing how much Kenny Payne is worried about culture, I think he made a decision that he wasn't going to get too deep in this. And, you know, Stan Heath, who is the coach at Eastern Michigan, like, this is a once in a lifetime for him to get a guy like that. And he can ride it for a year and see what happens.
So this season then turns into what in your mind for U of L? Did you think, you know, we'd be talking about a tournament team? Do you now believe they're not a tournament team? I mean, I don't know who at this point that they would add that would bring a super amount of value this year. And you got to kind of watch out, Rick, that you don't commit to a lesser player for multiple years, right? Because next year you could have a lot of turnover, and, you know, you bring in DJ Wagner, and there might be a little bit of rebuilding there. But you don't want this to be a lost year, but it might not be the year that you thought it was going to be when Kenny Payne you thought was going to get two guards and a wing as well. And so there's a lot to unpack. What do we do now with the roster? Imani Bates would have made a difference one way or the other. We know that.
Right. I mean, you keep wondering, like, you know, what are they going to do to fortify the backcourt? Because as we've talked about now for several months, you got Al Ellis and you got Mike James, and, you know, you might have some other wings that could play the two guard on a brief basis, but you have no backup point guard. And it's like, that's, you're leaving yourself in a fairly vulnerable spot that if you have any kind of injury or foul trouble or whatever else, that, wow, how are you going to do this? They're not dumb. They know that too. I'm sure they're trying every avenue they can to try and find something to fix what they know is a bit of a deficiency in their roster. But the longer it goes, and then we're all looking around at the same lists of players and don't really see where the answer is.
Rick, I don't even know a player to say, hey, this guy's out there. He's got 1 year left. He'll be a solid player. Right. I don't have a name for you.
Yeah.
And they need like two or three names. I have no idea. I'm going to go home and research
and it's
who's left.
Like, if somebody goes in the transfer portal, they can't be eligible this next season anyway, right? The deadline's passed.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Unless goodness, I didn't even think about that.
Unless
you
get some, like, out-of-nowhere reclass or something.
I have absolutely no idea.
Warren player or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I do not either. It's tough to.
I mean, you're going to have tryouts.
What was going to be tough is Kenny Payne had already kind of let out of the bag that this year was about culture, and to me that signaled no Amani Bates.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can have Amani Bates on your team and preach culture. Right?
I agree.
I mean,
yeah,
come
I agree.
On.
I agree. Let's be honest here. I mean, Michigan State recruited the kid for a long time, and they had a bunch of guys leave, and you heard nothing about Michigan State trying to get involved with Amani Bates again. And Michigan is the biggest, you know, Power 5 school near where he grew up in the Ypsilanti area, and I don't really think they were interested. And you know, Penny Hardaway has brought a bunch of dudes in there and you know, put up with a lot of shenanigans since he's been there and had enough of this one. So it's like there were enough flashing lights there that – and coaches talk. And, you know, I think that it was like, no, not worth the hassle. And Stan Heath at Eastern Michigan, it's a different world. I mean, he sees this as his ticket to, you know, obviously to have the once-in-a-lifetime player at Eastern Michigan and, you know, dominate the MAC and, you know, maybe – get a better job out of Eastern Michigan. He's a guy that used to be at Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. We went through his entire history yesterday of where he's coached, Rick.
I mean, it's something. I mean, it's not the off season that I was expecting. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
From Louisville, and now they enter a season here where they got to get some guys just like Rick, just like you said, Rick. So if they get an injury or they can practice, I mean, at some point you got to do that as well. How are you?
Usually, after the year goes on, you might end up having just 9 scholarship guys. But I can't remember many teams in basketball that went into a season with 9 scholarship guys. Usually, it's at least, you know, right, 11, isn't it? I mean,
10, 11, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would think it's
9 is. I don't remember anybody going in with 9.
No. I mean, listen, I'm with you. Are you okay with everything Tony La Russa's been doing lately? you okay? I thought I heard he did something. He didn't take someone out yesterday. I don't know. I got a DM from someone. I'll ask Bozich about this. La Russa's a bum.
It was 4-0, so I don't know.
Okay.
I've turned
it off
this year than I have in my life.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Well, there it is.
That's stunning.
By the way, we have a new employee, Rick, who is a big White Sox fan. You'll have to meet him sometime.
Really?
He's a big Red Sox fan.
You have to hook
Absolutely,
me up with him.
He is. Yeah, his name's Jason. He's a Red Sox fan, and he's a Louisville fan. He's loyal to the bird, as they would say.
Yeah, he's a Tennessee fan,
and
dude,
he's also
right?
a Tennessee
yeah,
fan.
Yeah.
So you know, I guess you got to have
White
a backup
Sox
team
and a Red Sox fan.
No. He's a Louisville fan and a Tennessee fan
and White Sox
and a White Sox fan. Yeah.
Okay. All... I said Red Sox.
No. He should be a couple AL
Chicago?
Teams.
Why is he a White Sox fan?
I guess so. I can't. He told us the other day, but I got to be honest, I didn't listen. Like I didn't care that much, to be quite honest.
Kind of faded out,
Rick. I didn't care.
We're
I didn't listen.
Too.
Yeah, I turned my ears off on that one. So there you go. Rick, appreciate the time, brother. We'll talk with you next week. Thank you. Take
care. All right, have a great 4th of July. Stay safe, everybody.
You too.
Oh, you too.
You too.
Bye.
Rick Bozich with us here on this Thursday, live from Holiday World. How about that?
Yeah, he is not happy about this realignment stuff. Not happy.
Or the White basketball Sox. Guy.
Yeah.
Or the White Sox.
Or the White Sox. Not happy. The White Sox, he's turned off La Russa. And...
See, here's the beauty with, like, I know, you know, Kentucky's not going to be going anywhere. Okay.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
They're going to be playing their teams. I feel with Louisville that, you know, if they move the conference and they're in a good spot, that I don't care who they play because there's just not a, you know, Cincinnati, they had the big rivalry with them. They don't play them. If the rivalry meant that much and the two would be playing a basketball and they don't.
Same thing with
Memphis. The two would have figured out a home and home in football at some point and they're not going to.
Right.
And Memphis, the exact same deal.
Right.
And so I'm like, they don't have anyone. Yeah. Like the Wake Forest thing is nice. And no, you don't want to play Clemson because you haven't beat them.
Right.
Even though when they've been generic, it's like, to me, if Louisville went to one of these other conferences, like,
yeah, they're not blowing anything up as far as
like, no. Like, did they end up in the Big Ten, like, or whatever? It might not be the Big Ten, but whatever that conference is.
Ends up
and
being.
It's like they have Maryland, and you're throwing Indiana in there, whatever. I'm like, okay. Like,
sure, let's go.
Like, that's fine. I don't view that too different? I mean, they haven't, you know, they faced, what, North Carolina a couple times in the ACC.
They've not been around in the ACC long enough to build, like real rivalries or traditions there. Like, there's
no.
Like,
they leave and there's and no rivalry in traditions except for a couple North Carolina schools and the Florida schools.
Right. No, you're
ACC
exactly right.
ACC doesn't have any
they
of
don't.
That.
They don't. It's like no one's jacked up to watch Boston College versus Syracuse. I mean, at noon on a Saturday.
I am.
Are you? Oh, okay. You're the one. Okay.
By the way, Jack, the Big Ten's going to play in SoFi Stadium out in
L.A.
Out in L.A.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
That,
that
didn't
nice.
Take
How
long.
That?
Little Tom Allen.
Wow, Tom Allen.
Under the
yeah.
lights versus Brett Bielema.
Yep.
Tom Nothing Allen. Like it.
Illinois, Indiana. I hope they reformat everything and that's the Big Ten championship game.
Yes.
And no one watches.
That would be the best thing
Jack,
ever.
That'd be great.
You know
I'd
what's
love
coming.
It.
I mean, they're going to put the basketball tournament out there. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, I mean, yes. Yeah,
these,
2026.
These IU Hoosiers in L.A.
The ACC just redid all their scheduling. Too late for that.
Yeah, they did.
You ain't making that to 2026, big
they
guy.
They were so proud of themselves. We were the first to do
that's
this.
That's why the SEC didn't do anything. They're like, the Big Ten's getting ready to raid everybody.
We'll hold off. I think the ACC's like, look at us. We're first. It's like, no, y'all are last.
If you ain't first, you're last.
I was thinking that, too.
If you ain't first, you're last, you bum.
Shake your
let's
bank.
Take... Sorry to talk over that.
Herb.
We got to play some sound. We'll do that. Bunch of nonsense. We got some time here. Live at Holiday World. We got you until 6 o'clock on The Take on ESPN 680.
UPS is hiring warehouse workers, package handlers in our Louisville, Kentucky hub. Our warehouses are team settings where everyone truly has each other's backs, and we work together to deliver what matters to customers and communities. We're paying up to $21 an hour and offer great benefits, including 100% paid tuition, plus housing for some with our Metro College or Loop programs. Shift your team, shift your future, shift your life. Visit upsjobs.com to apply. That's upsjobs.com. Make the shift, make a difference. UPSjobs.com.
Tired of eating the same homemade meals over and over again? Want to switch it up? Locally owned delivery.com safely brings the restaurants to you. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner, they'll bring it to you. Delivery.com delivers some of the finest restaurants in Metro Louisville. Miss going out to eat but still want to support your favorite restaurants? Delivery.com has got you covered. Use promo code ORDER now for $10 off your next order. Sit back, relax. Your meal's on its way. Delivery.com. We bring the restaurants to you.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
Texter says they enjoyed watching you as much as the concert means they hated watching you.
And James Strebel.
Hey, I was in the suite, you bums. You
there
wanted the suite.
There it is.
I was eating free chicken tenders and sliders and egg rolls and freaking beer. What were you doing at home on the couch?
Roll.
Sad. How about that? I was in the suite. Ooh. Not you. Ha!
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Ball with the ball, the bang, the dang, diggy, 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 shut up.
Of course, we met part of the family that housed James Strebel.
Yeah.
At the KFC Yum Center when he went to go see Kid Rock.
Yeah.
And Jack, again, if it was basically confirmed to me our just everything.
Everything
that Strebel nearly fell out of the suite.
Yeah.
Onto a bunch of other people.
Onlookers,
peasants,
yeah.
Onlookers.
Yeah. Innocent bystanders.
That's fantastic.
Well, she did give you that look where it's like, yes.
Like it was bad.
It was bad. It was bad. It was very
oh,
bad.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Appreciate Holiday World having us out. HolidayWorld.com. You can check them out. Holiday World and Splashing Safari. They're very happy.
Yes.
So there you go. There was one guy around here that wanted to get on the radio.
Yeah.
He had nothing,
she did, too.
He had nothing to say, Jack.
Yeah.
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. Is it Kendallin? Hang on. There was one guy around here. He was kind of like a pipsqueak. Jackie wanted to come on the air and say the Cubs are better than the Cardinals. And get out of here. I would say, kid, get out of here.
Yeah,
we don't need that.
Yeah,
we don't need that. They're not.
You're like, what are you going to say? He's
They're
like,
not.
I don't know. Like,
one makes the playoffs. One makes the playoffs. And one's a peasant franchise.
And one doesn't try
Jason
to win.
Jason Hayward.
Yes.
Is it Jason Hayward?
It is
Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward. It was still on the damn team.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
You got four more years
well,
on that
well,
deal,
you know,
buddy.
Well, you know, Strebel, they say he's a good leader. He's a good clubhouse
guy. He's
yeah.
a good club.
Yeah. How about you go out and hit over 150?
How about you produce?
I'll ball through produce. Of course, Chris Rodriguez won't be producing this season, nor will he be a team leader.
We don't know.
So there we are.
Yeah.
Hey, a big thank you to our good friends at RGB Home Theaters. RGB, red, green, blue, RGBHomeTheaters.com. Check out their website now. If you're looking to upgrade your TV, your viewing situation, they also specialize in that Dolby Atmos. So take advantage of that personalized, top-notch service. They're engineers by trade. They can tell you exactly what you need, some things you probably don't even you haven't even thought of, to be quite honest. Check out their website. You can check out their recent work. Free estimates, again, RGBHomeTheaters.com. And they will price match the big box stores as well. We did have a funny moment.
We should talk about. Yes, we should talk about this.
And Jack, where... we're a team leader.
team leader came up to us.
What are you guys doing here?
Can I ask what you guys are doing?
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you? I said, my name's Jack Grossman. And that's Ken Grossman.
Yes.
He's my father.
I said.
He also made a suit for Chris Mack. Chris Mack threw away and he got something suits. To JCPenney instead.
He got him a belt? Said,
yes, he got him at least a dozen different belts that he would not wear.
Shocking that he wouldn't listen to anyone.
I told him Mark Blankenbaker's wife said we could be here.
They didn't know who that was.
No, the sheriff. How dare you?
He kept pressing. I was like,
how dare you?
I was like, yeah, we're okay here.
Texas says the Pac-12 is in talks with the University of Phoenix.
Oh, how about that? University of Phoenix. What was the other one? New Hampshire University Online or whatever
you bunch,
know what I'm talking
yeah.
about. Yeah. And of course, people are crying when they open their diplomas.
Texas says, Bozich at 533 said, I don't remember going in with nine.
Well.
You know, Texas says, Jurich for ACC commissioner.
He wouldn't want that job either. He'll get a contingent of people to advocate that he's the commissioner, and then he'll back
Texas
out.
Texas says Watch Shot is on the Big Ten Network right now.
Of course it is. Yes, of course it is. They have nothing else to show.
Well, the Pac-12 Network's airing an old USC-UCLA game. That was on Twitter a little bit ago.
Imagine that. You're going to have to watch that now, Jack.
Texas says the Bleacher Report says the SEC wants UNC and Duke. Thank you for that.
Not the Bleacher Report.
Thank you for that.
Wow.
Texter, if ACC gets rated for a couple of teams, then they will turn into the Big East. Duke will become irrelevant. Not in basketball.
Not basketball.
They're already irrelevant in football.
Yeah, they've been irrelevant in football. Outside of, that 1 year with Daniel Jones and David Cutcliffe.
Texter says, do you have to be loyal to the bird when you're on a break?
I don't know. I've never been loyal to the bird.
Well, you've been on a pause.
But you got a couple of kids that have.
They're loyal to the bird.
Is Viper loyal to the bird?
He's loyal to the bird.
Is he really?
Yes, he is. He's very loyal to the bird.
Texas says the ACC's only possible course going forward has to be to add Memphis and Western Kentucky.
That'll save them. You get Penny.
The Bowling Green Market.
Yeah, you get Penny and our guy Stansberry.
Texas says Dribble has no awareness. The SEC's new TV deal is going to dwarf the mighty beloved SEC. Let's see both deals.
The ACC's deal?
No, the Big Ten.
Oh, the Big Ten. Well, again, the Big Ten will have a deal. Then the SEC will come in after that and say, where's our bigger deal? And you know that's exactly going to happen, Texter. But this is a Big Ten.
Didn't the SEC just sign their deal like a year or so ago?
Does anything matter?
I'm saying you're just both guys. You're just going to keep going back and forth and just ripping up the old deals and signing new ones to make more money than the other.
Exactly right. Yes,
it's just going to be a never-ending thing.
Vicious cycle, money battle between those two conferences.
You know what's funny?
What?
I don't think Jack likes this alignment stuff.
You can hear it in his voice.
I think he's got like an old school
soul,
soul to him on this.
Yeah. I mean,
I can't really tell.
I mean, I'm on the side of Bozich from the basketball side of things most of the time.
They've already crapped on that. They crapped on that a decade ago.
But I'm over that at this point. For me, I'm like, look, if you're the Big Ten and you're going to expand, which they needed to expand after the SEC added Texas and Oklahoma, you can't just sit there and do nothing and weep. You can't do an alliance and actually uphold that. You can't go get Oklahoma State or Kansas or just leftover bums from the Big 12. If you're going to make a move, you got to go out and make an actual bleeping move, and that's going out and getting USC and UCLA.
Well, there you go.
I like it.
Yes, the Big Ten did absolutely the right thing.
Ross Dellinger there works with 40 at SI.com. I mean, he's like 35 teams, two conferences, maybe gets up to 40.
Wow.
Then we can have the conversation with U of L.
Yeah, well, if they
once I know the parameters, then we can have the conversation with U of L and everybody else, because I could see 40 teams go one way, and there are a bunch of Iowa States and a bunch of other ones like that that are sitting around saying, "What's going on here?"
We saw Braden Gall had to be reminded to put Louisville in his top 40 teams that would be a super conference. So. Just again, I think that they'll
be
fine.
You're being nice today, by the way.
Well, because I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, you're ready?
Because I'm preparing for it. But I'm just saying, like, I don't think Louisville's on the forefront of the minds of the big time movers and shakers when they're talking about, who do we want the cream of the crop of the conferences? SEC take almost everybody, you would think, from that conference. And Louisville's a newcomer in the ACC, man. Ty Spalding said his worry level was a 5. And that was high for I thought he'd say like a 3.
I thought he was going to say a 3.
A little high for me. So that tells you that, again, Louisville's had this happen to them so many times in the past that they're, they're looking over their shoulder a little bit. They got to watch. They're paranoid. They should be paranoid. They absolutely should be. They've not been a mainstay in their conference.
Where on the totem pole is Louisville in terms of, okay, in terms of, like, trying to figure out an order of Notre Dame's the big fish, whether or not they actually join a conference now, but they're the biggest school out there that could join a conference. They're the biggest domino. Oregon's another huge one. How far down that list do you have to get to Louisville?
I mean,
because the farther you get down, the more worried you have to be, right?
Yes, I think it's pretty far. I mean, they're below those two. They're below North Carolina.
You guys are doing the rankings.
I mean, I could.
Jack
absolutely.
Jack loves those realignment topics.
He does.
He loves the realignment topic.
He wishes he had an extra barrier, like that buffer show that he does. He wishes he had 10 minutes today.
Today would have been a great day for it.
I hate most of them.
Should I just lock the door and just keep Ents out from soccer?
Keep Ents out. Like, soccer season's delayed for 10 minutes.
What's Ents doing, by the way? What's he doing around there? Is he talking about Milan?
Still doing soccer takes?
He's just staring.
Is Casey Whitfield falling asleep yet?
She's looking at her phone. She's snoring. Yeah, she's on her phone right now.
Yeah, she's like, I actually played soccer, dude.
She's not on her phone. She's faking the phone call. politician did with, like, we can see you're not on the phone.
Yeah, we can see you're not on the phone.
He's acting like he's on the phone.
She's just staring at the black mirror of the phone.
Yeah.
Just, like, staring at herself, looking
Your
back at her.
Your phone's looking rough, too.
Yeah, well, eventually I'll get a new one. It'll happen one day. Today's not that day.
Yes, it will happen one day in your life.
Yeah, one day in my life, I will have a new phone. Today's not the day where I get a new phone.
Jack, do you want to play some sound here?
Yeah.
We got some sound. We can a couple minutes left on today's program. 437-9680, you want to jump in? What do we have today? I'm just pulling up the sound
sheet. The Maven Rummage callers are probably the best sound we got today.
Oh, wow. I always love some Maven and Rummage callers.
I mean, I think you would love that.
Yes,
Strieble.
I do like that.
Strieble would love that. He gave two thumbs up. Let's hear one. Let's go.
We're forgetting that there's still haters out there. And we're taking little, they love the Armani dog coming there. All of those articles, they love it. Louisville loses another one. But look, here's what I'm thinking. We got the coach look in his eye. Then I'm not worried about it. Somebody going to step up like Curry. Curry looks like he wants to go pro, and he will benefit a lot from him. And I think this team's going to overachieve. I don't know why everybody's like, if we make 500, that's an achievement. I think it's going to be explosive.
Players, dude.
And I think everybody's worried for no reason.
No reason? You're worried for no reason? You have non-players and no guards,
Nuances
dude.
That in America.
I mean, he's got that look in his eye, Andy. That's what I trust. I trust a look in the eye. That's
we
what
are
I trust.
Better off not getting Imani Bates of the world because if we then win, it's because of that. Whether the guy scores 6 points a game or whatever, it won't matter. That'll be, they got all the transfer portal. I'd rather take this team and overachieve in his first year than get all the breaks and all the luck of getting these supposed superstars,
right?
Who, by the way, are like Kwame Browns of the world.
Kwame Brown.
Who's better, Kwame Brown or Amani Bates?
I'd say Kwame Brown's better than Amani
Bates.
Because
he was in the NBA for a decade.
A long, long time. So let's pump our...
My man went to Kwame Brown.
He just took a swipe at Kwame Brown. What the heck's that about?
Remember the last time? Who did that, Jack, and got crushed? Someone took a swipe at Kwame Brown. Remember, he got on Instagram Live and just crushed the person.
There was a stretch.
Who was it?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. There was a stretch where Kwame Brown was very active on social media.
It wasn't Stephen A. No, Stephen A. stood up for him, right?
Yeah. Was it Skip Bayless?
No.
It wasn't Skip. Russell Westbrook is going at Skip Bayless and Draymond Green.
Who's that?
Kellerman, maybe?
No, I don't think
Kellerman elicits that
kind
of reaction.
I don't think he knows who he is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, Kellerman said, what about me? Who's that?
Texas says, is Bill Walton sad? Put it up. Is Bill Walton sad?
The Conference of Champions is breaking up. His beloved Bruins are leaving the Conference of Champions.
We're Indiana, UCLA, 11 p.m. on a Tuesday night with Bill Walton on the call.
Put that up. Put this up. Does Bill Walton know? Yes or no? And then once he find out, will he be mad? Yes or no?
I'm not lowering my expectations.
No. I mean, because I think there's a lot of talent on this team. I mean, you know, I think that's the case. As far as, do you think this is a talented team?
Yes.
In the ACC?
Yes.
Yeah, but what can I ask this? Because I don't know. I would need to ask him, what are the expectations?
Yes, what are your expectations?
I honestly don't know, and that's a topic that we can do tomorrow.
Yes.
That's a very summer radio topic.
It is.
I don't know what they are. So if you think they're, like, do you think they're a tournament team? Do you think they're an 8 seed? Do you think they're a 5 seed? Do you think they're not a tournament team? Do you think it's...
They're on the bubble.
It's do whatever you need to do to create the culture team.
Yes.
Is it a moving target?
They don't know. They just want...
I'm sure they've said. That's what I'm saying.
Well, like Louisville fans in general really don't know what they want for this season. I don't
right
think...
Right now, man, I am so pissed because it seems like to me, I'm listening to a whole lot of so-called Mr. Know-it-alls when it comes down to basketball, and it's just me, and I could be the most ignorant son of a gun on the planet, but it seems like to me that everybody is sleeping on L. Ellis and his abilities on the basketball court.
Man, I disagree.
His ball handling abilities.
I disagree with this guy.
This kid is he can create his own shot. He's going to be a nightmare for defenses, and not only that, he's a lockdown defender. But it seems like all I'm hearing is, we don't have a point guard. We need a point guard. We need a wing. This kid is going to be in a situation where he's going to double team him. He's going to distribute the ball down post.
He needs to get this out.
He's going to be a nightmare defenses. And all I can say is, look out for L. Ellis, because this kid is the real deal.
Here's why I disagree with that. It's not him. It's everybody else.
Yeah.
It's the other guys at that position.
Exactly.
No one's doing that.
Yes.
Everyone's giving L. Ellis the absolute benefit of the doubt.
Yes, you have to.
Absolute benefit of the doubt. No one is saying, what if L. Ellis has a bad season?
No.
Not one person.
What if L. Ellis gets hurt?
Not one
That's
person.
That's the conversation.
If he twists an ankle in practice, which easily could happen.
If he
is in foul trouble, which easily could happen, especially with college basketball officiating. It's the exact every fan base does this. There is a sense of disrespect. Louisville needs to earn some of that respect. And those players do. If they didn't, then they wouldn't be at college for year number 4.
Right.
Okay? So I think the Louisville fan is giving L. Ellis every benefit of the doubt, you're our starting guard.
Right.
It's not about him. It's about the other guys at that position. And it's not arrogant. Me and Blank had a conversation about this.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, well, it's not. I can't believe that I've been here at ESPN Louisville for a decade talking about this. To wonder if the team has enough is what we do.
Yeah.
People get very offended by it. It's not that Louisville doesn't have talent on the team. It's how much do they have.
Do they have enough?
All these other teams have talent. Louisville had talent on their team last year.
Right.
And they were a train wreck.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
So
they had talent on the team the year before that. They didn't make the tournament.
And L. Ellis was on that team. So People believe in L. Ellis. That's not the point. We got to get out of here. Appreciate Holiday World Splash and Safari having us out. The second home to Mark Blankenbaker, of course.
Yes.
So I'm sure he'll be out here tonight. Come say hello.
He'll be watching the drones.
You know, throwing L's down if you want to the sheriff.
Please do. Yes.
He won't arrest you.
No, he won't.
He won't arrest you.
He has jurisdiction here, but he will not arrest you.
And as we learned, he has not had handcuffs on him.
Yes.
We learned that
today.
This morning.
Yes.
So thank you, Mark.
Congratulations,
for clearing that up for everyone on radio. Again, holidayworld.com. Jack, good job today. Soccer City coming up next here on ESPN 680.